Hello, my name is Neil Donald Walsh. You are about to have an extraordinary experience. You're about to hear a conversation with God. Yes, I know that's not possible. You probably think or have been taught that's not possible. One can talk to God, sure, but not with God. I mean, God's not going to talk back, right? At least not in the form of a regular, everyday kind of conversation. Well, that's what I thought, too. Then this experience happened to me. I mean that literally. I mean the experience happened to me. The words you are about to hear were not written by me. They happened to me, and as you listen, the same experience will happen to you, for we are all led to the truth for which we are ready. God, it turns out, talks to everybody, the good and the bad, the saint and the scoundrel, and certainly all of us in between. Take you, for instance. God has come to you in many ways in your life. This is just another one of them. How many times have you heard the old axiom, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear? In the spring of 1992, it was around Easter, as I recall, an extraordinary phenomenon occurred in my life. God began talking with you through me. Let me explain. I was very unhappy during that period, personally, professionally, and emotionally, and my life was feeling like a failure on all levels. And as I'd been in the habit for years of writing my thoughts down in letters, which, by the way, I usually never delivered, I picked up my trusty yellow legal pad and began pouring out my feelings. But this time, rather than another letter to another person I imagined to be victimizing me, I thought I'd go straight to the source, straight to the greatest victimizer of them all. I decided to write a letter to God. It was a spiteful, passionate letter, full of confusion, contortions, and condemnations, and a pile of angry questions. Why wasn't my life working? What would it take to get it to work? Why could I not find happiness in relationship? Was the experience of adequate money going to elude me forever? And finally, and most emphatically, what had I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? To my surprise, as I scribbled out the last of my bitter, unanswerable questions and prepared to toss my pen aside, my hand remained poised over the paper as if held there by some invisible force. Abruptly, the pen began moving on its own. I had no idea what I was about to write, but an idea seemed to be coming, so I decided to flow with it. Out came...
Do you really want an answer to all these questions, or are you just venting?
I blinked, and then my mind came up with a reply. I wrote that down, too. Both. I'm venting, sure, but if these questions have answers, I'd sure as hell like to hear them.
You are sure as hell about a lot of things, but wouldn't it be nice to be sure as heaven?
And I wrote, what is that supposed to mean? Before I knew it, I had begun a conversation. And I was not writing so much as taking dictation. What you are about to hear is a reading of a large portion of that dialogue. I hope you receive benefit from listening to it. The dialogue begins with a very simple question, actually. How does God talk? And to whom?
I talk to everyone.
All the time.
The question is not to whom do I talk,
but who listens.
First, let's exchange the word talk with the word communicate. It's a much better word, a much fuller, more accurate one. When we try to speak to each other, me to you, you to me, we are immediately constricted by the unbelievable limitation of words. For this reason, I do not communicate by words alone. In fact, rarely do I do so. My most common form of communication is through feeling. Feeling is the language of the soul. If you want to know what's true for you about something, look to how you're feeling about it. Feelings are sometimes difficult to discover, and often even more difficult to acknowledge. Yet hidden in your deepest feelings is your highest truth. The trick is to get to those feelings. I will show you how. Again, if you wish. I also communicate with thought. Thought and feelings are not the same, although they can occur at the same time. In communicating with thought, I often use images and pictures. For this reason, thoughts are more effective than mere words as tools of communication. In addition to feelings and thoughts, I also use the vehicle of experience as a grand communicator. And finally, when feelings and thoughts and experience all fail, I use words. Words are really the least effective communicator. They are most open to misinterpretation, most often misunderstood. Why is that? It is because of what words are. Words are merely utterances, noises that stand for feelings, thoughts, and experience. They are symbols, signs, insignias. They're not truth. They're not the real thing. Words may help you understand something. Experience allows you to know. Yet there are some things you cannot experience. So I've given you other tools of knowing, and these are called feelings. And so, too, thoughts. Now, the supreme irony here is that you've all placed so much importance on the Word of God, and so little on the experience. In fact, you place so little value on experience that when what you experience of God differs from what you've heard of God, you automatically discard the experience and own the words, when it should be just the other way around. Your experience and your feelings about a thing represent what you factually and intuitively know about that thing. Words can only seek to symbolize what you know and can often confuse what you know. These, then, are the tools with which I communicate. Yet they are not the methods, for not all feelings, not all thoughts, not all experience, and not all words are from me. Many words have been uttered by others in my name. Many thoughts and many feelings have been sponsored by causes not of my direct creation. Many experiences result from these. The challenge is one of discernment. The difficulty is knowing the difference between messages from God and data from other sources. Discrimination is a simple matter with the application of a basic rule. Mine is always your highest thought, your clearest word, your grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source. Now, the task of differentiation becomes easy, for it should not be difficult even for the beginning student to identify the highest, the clearest, and the grandest. Yet will I give you these guidelines. The highest thought is always that thought which contains joy. The clearest words are those words which contain truth. The grandest feeling is that feeling which you call love. Joy, truth, love. These three are interchangeable, and one always leads to the other. It matters not in which order they are placed. Having with these guidelines determined which messages are mine and which have come from another source, the only question remaining is whether my messages will be heeded. Most of my messages are not. Some because they seem too good to be true. Others because they seem too difficult to follow. Many because they are simply misunderstood. Most because they are not received.